You're listening to AWW Radio, the podcast of American Women's Wrestling. What is up, wrestling friends? Welcome to AWW Radio. I'm your host, Derek Lewandowski, and we are going to talk some last chance qualifier. Now, I know, everybody's excited about the Olympic team trials. The seeds are out. I'm excited too. We'll do a show on that tomorrow. But I wanted to button up this amazing event and, you know, do a recap on the last chance qualifier. It had so many great moments and so many great storylines and headlines, and none bigger than one Kennedy Blades and her high school friends who came out and put on a show against some of the top college wrestlers and senior level wrestlers. It was unbelievable. I said in the preview, you know, that I thought Kennedy Blades could beat Skylar Grote. I thought she'd win that match, but I mean, come on. Blades just put on a show and was on a tear from start to finish. Just went out with like this, almost like this blind assumption that she was the best wrestler, you know, in the room. And she just attacked without conscience. And that's kind of her style. And until you prove you can stop it, she's going to keep coming. And that's exactly what she did every single match. Didn't just beat Skylar Grote. She teched her 12-1. For a high school junior, it's still pretty shocking. I mean, we've seen Kennedy before. We know she's good. But to see her against, you know, a really great, you know, number four ranked senior level wrestler like Skylar Grote and to be able to dominate that match, I think it said more about Kennedy Blades than it did Skylar Grote. Skylar is a fantastic wrestler with, you know, a lot in her future in this sport. In some ways too, Kennedy Blades is kind of new on the scene, and I'm not saying she's not going to keep winning and keep dominating, but there is something about getting your hands on a wrestler too, and it will be interesting to see, you know, over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, you know, if some of her opponents can figure out how to slow her down. Nobody has yet, and nobody did this weekend. I mean, I guess Kylie Welker, scored 6 points on her, which that was a great final, very exciting final, 16-6. So, let's talk about Kylie Welker too. She did on the bottom side what Kennedy did on the top side. Kennedy beat number four, Skylar Grote, by tech fall. And then Kylie Welker goes out and smashes Olivia Fisk, the number five senior ranked wrestler. And Olivia's no joke. She won the U.S. Open before, was in Final X. She's, you know, been on world teams before. And it was just total domination by Kylie Welker. And I think everybody was, you know, grabbing their popcorn for that final for Kennedy against Kylie. It kind of fulfilled our hopes for it. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody was picking Kylie to win that, but I think a lot of people know how good she is. I mean, she had a good match against Macy Kilty. I think she only lost 8-2 at one of the fall events in the finals last fall. Honestly, I don't remember what event it was. So many of these things are blurring together. Was it a card? Was it a USAW event? But I think Welker actually took down Kilty. So, you know, we knew Welker was good coming into this event too. So two high school juniors, and not junior division. I mean, juniors in high school make the final at the last chance qualifier, you know, senior level tournament. And, you know, it was a great final. Kennedy she's just going to keep scoring. And, you know, Welker got some points, but Blades just stacked points on points on points and, you know, just kind of outpaced her, you know, and out-sprinted her to a 16-6 tech fall. So, kudos, shout out, stand up and applaud both Blades and Welker for really a great tournament. And, you know, it's going to be intriguing and interesting and fun to watch them this weekend at the Olympic team trials. Welker actually bumped up to 76 kilos. So That'll be interesting to see how she does it that way, and how, you know, Kennedy, who's seated third, by the way, how she does at at that event. So let's talk about the other high school standout, Sage Mortimer. Matter of fact, let's just get right into the we'll get right into the weight by weight recap of this. Sage Mortimer, again, you know, she's a high school senior, and she's 18. I think both Welker and Blades are 17, which is why, you know, we can't rank them yet at the senior level. You know, as soon as they're 18, they're going to be, you know, probably both top five or close to it at the senior level. I mean, you know, after this next weekend, who knows, you know, where Kennedy Blades' ceiling is, or Welker for that matter. But yeah, so Sage Mortimer, she's 18. But one of the things that's interesting about Mortimer's tournament is she wrestled Natalie Reyna from McKendree, which was her toughest match in the semis on the bottom side of 50 kilos. And Reyna is like 29 years old. I think she's the oldest college wrestler. I don't know. I don't have the information to know if she was the oldest wrestler in Last Chance. Probably if she wasn't, she was pretty close to that. Oh, she probably was. So it was just interesting to have, you know, Sage Mortimer wrestling Natalie Reyna. Mortimer's 18, Reyna's 29 in that semi. But that's just what happens at these senior level events, you know, especially when these young athletes enter those events. You know, these women can wrestle for as long as they enjoy it and want to and are capable of doing that. And, you know, Reyna's put together a nice, really nice college career. You know, she was taking her crack at, you know, qualifying for the Olympic team trials and, you know, fell short, but, that was a great match with Mortimer in the, semi. Mortimer won that 10-9, you know, very much back and forth. I think Mortimer hit a big move early on that, you know, gave her a good lead, and, Reyna's, you know, really, really good leg shooter, nice leg attacks, and, you know, kept kind of counting by twos, you know, to get back in the match. And in the end, it wasn't enough. Mortimer wins that 10-9. Other than that, Mortimer was very dominant. You know, in the first round, she wrestled an NCAA, you know, champion from 2020, Pauline Granados from McKendree. And by the way, when I say NCAA champion, we all understand that it's an emerging sport and that the NCAA event is the National Collegiate Women's Wrestling Championships, which is sort of the, you know, the transitional event, I guess you could say, until the NCAA finally recognizes women's wrestling and sanctions it. That's sort of the invitational event for NCAA programs. So when I say NCAA champion, we understand that it's sort of a, you know, this in-between, weird in-between that we're in right now. That it's not sanctioned yet, but, you know, that event is for NCAA programs. So by that definition, Granados was the 2020. Sorry for that little rabbit trail, but, you know, maybe that's a helpful brief conversation. Granados was the 2020 NCAA champion at that event. She took second this year. And Mortimer just, my goodness, she just went out and just, it was like a 100-yard dash. I mean, All these high school wrestlers, and you kind of wonder, like, Mortimer, Welker, Blades, they're used to winning and being able to, like, exert their will on their opponents at will. It is interesting to see them come into these groups where you have styles that are much more fine-tuned and calculated, where you have wrestlers who have developed a certain style, a certain attack, and they look for their setups, and they look, and then you got Blades coming out. She's like, "I'm just gonna come right at you and find an angle on the way." You know, it's like same thing with Welker, the same thing with Mortimer. It's like you kind of wonder if that mentality coming out of high school, where these girls are just winning everything, I don't know if like some of these college wrestlers and senior wrestlers should still kind of, I don't know, try to hang on to that aggression at least at times, because it certainly paid dividends for these high school wrestlers. They wrestled these college and senior level wrestlers like it was their high school opponents. And some of them, you know, I mean, there were high school wrestlers who, you know, didn't have the results that Mortimer, Welker, and Blades had, but, you know, so for some of them didn't do as well or didn't do well, but, you know, it definitely paid dividends for those three, Mortimer, Welker, and of course, Blades. So yeah, Mortimer goes out. She gets a big early lead on Granados. Granados did come back and score some points, but Mortimer, again, just kept attacking and attacking and, you know, got takedowns and turns and ended up winning that match 18-7 against Granados. Goes into the quarterfinal and, you know, runs into Genesis Martinez from Colorado Mesa. Now, Genesis Martinez is a very good wrestler. She's, I think, a two-time All-American for Colorado Mesa. You know, she's struggled this last year against, you know, like the top five. You know, didn't do that well in those matches. But, you know, she's always like sort of that bottom of the podium. You know, you can almost like bank on seeing her there because she's at that level. You know, I guess to borrow Flo Wrestling's term, she's like, you know, tier two, tier three. Very good wrestler. Well, Mortimer goes out and techs her in 36 seconds, 13-0. And you got to remember, too, Mortimer has that Greco background. You know, she's known for being the first girl ever to place in a boys division at Fargo. You know, she became an All-American in Greco a few years ago. So she's got that, you know, she's got that style, you know, kind of a three-style wrestler. You know, she's a good example of why it's good to develop multiple styles and disciplines in wrestling, you know, Greco, folk style, and freestyle. Because it's like she just segues from, you know, one option, transitions from one option to another. And it's like, if I can't score this way, I'm going to score that way. And man, she just really took it to Martinez in the quarters. And then, of course, she had that semi against Reyna, won at 10-9. Very exciting match. If you haven't seen that, you should go back and watch that match. And then in the finals, you know, it was more of the same like it'd been earlier. She got a tech fall over Charlotte Fowler. I mean, Charlotte Fowler, you know, she's never won a national title in college. She's struggled against the top three, you know, like the top two, top three. Even though she's been top two, top three, she was a runner-up this year in the NAIA. She was third in WCWA a few years ago. But, you know, what I'm saying is, like, those top three wrestlers in college, are, you know, that those are the only ones who have really kind of been an obstacle for her. But she's been at that level, though she hasn't won a title. Four-time All-American in college. Like I said, runner-up this year. Tech fall, Mortimer. Tech fall, first period. Again, like, man, it's similar to the guys. Like, you see this happening on the guys' side. You know, not with everybody, but you've got this handful of wrestlers that's coming, you know, onto the college scene, not only ready to contribute, but ready to win national titles. And I don't know what Mortimer's plans are. Has she committed to a college? I'm sorry, I can't remember that. Maybe she has. You know, I mean, she's an example of, you know, what if and when she enters the college scene, she's going to be an immediate national title contender. And you see that, you know, Yanni Diakamahalas, Dayton Fix comes to mind on the guy's side. Now you've got, you know, on the women's side, you've got, you know, Mortimer and Emily Shilson was like that, you know, and Kennedy Blades and Kylie Welker. And Kennedy Blades' younger sister, Karina, if and when she enters the, you know, the college scene, you know, it'll be more of the same there. So fantastic tournament for Mortimer. There was a true second match here. Fowler lost and she had a true second match against Bainon. Remember that the top two advanced to the Olympic team trials. So they had those true second matches to, you know, to give those road warriors who came back and took third a chance if the, you know, the person who lost the finals had not beaten the third place finisher previously in the tournament, then the third place match winner would have a chance for a true second match to try to get that qualifying spot. So there was one of those matches in this bracket. It was Fowler against Casey Bainon from Lion Wrestling Club, which is Emmanuel College's wrestling club. And Fowler held that number two spot and won that pretty handily. Let me see the result here. It was, she pinned her in 128. So Congrats to Fowler. She's had a really nice year. I mean, she's got to be feeling good about her final year before she goes into coaching. She's going to coach at University of the Ozarks down in, I think it's Arkansas. Had a really nice year, you know, got to wrestle at the Beat the Streets, you know, placed second in the NAIA, you know, pulled some huge upsets in that tournament. By the way, tournament or tournament? I'm a tournament guy. I know a lot of you are tournament or tournament people. It's tournament, okay? It's phonetically, it's T-E-R, tournament, not tour, like I'm going on a tour of the United States. Anyway, a little bunny trail there. There's probably more tournament people than tournament people. So anyway, that's how we say it in Western New York. So yeah, Fowler, really nice year, nice tournament. You know, gets that qualifying spot and gets to wrestle this weekend at the Olympic team trials. So congrats to her and especially to Mortimer. So that was 50 kilos. Let's go on to 53. Melanie Mendoza, man, what I think in my preview I said that I had a very hard time picking this group because these women were very close to each other, and I said that it was probably going to come down to, you know, how one sequence played out in a match. There was going to be, you know, one, you know, women winning by 1 point, a sequence being scored a certain way, you know, some of these controversial calls and judgment calls. That's exactly how it played out. There was multiple match stoppages with bricks thrown in different matches, you know, with Mendoza. But man, she had a great and exciting tournament. She comes out of the gate with a 5-2 win over Kinsey, gets a fall over Buchanan. Then in the semis and the finals, she came back. I think she was down 6-0 in the semis, and she was down, I don't know, it was 4-0, 4-2 in the finals. Came back in both those matches and won them. She won the semi. It was 6-6 at the time of fall. She got the fall at 5-18 over Victoria Smith from California. And then the finals, she wrestled one of my favorite college wrestlers, Marissa Gallegos, who I'm so happy for her, and the Colorado Mesa program that Gallegos qualified for the Olympic team trials and and broke through with her broken hand. But anyway, I'm talking about Mendoza now. Mendoza comes back and wins that match. Great win over a great opponent and a fantastic tournament for Melanie Mendoza. I think Mendoza took fifth at the NCAA event a few weeks ago. And so this has got to feel good for her to win this event, you know, get that qualifying spot. I don't have the seeds in front of me, but I think she got a decent seed too at the Olympic team trials. So she beats Gallegos 7-6 and gets that spot. And then Gallegos did not need to wrestle a true second match because she'd already beaten Sofia Mirabella, who, you know, the Cinderella that this last year at so many events has been the Cinderella story and pulled upsets. And she got a nice seed here at number 4, still outperformed her seed, took third place. Actually, she was pre-seeded number 4 and ended up seeded number 3. So she wrestled to her seed, won that third place match, but did not get a true second match. But it had a very nice tournament and a fantastic year. Look out for Sofia Mirabella from King University. You know, remember her name. She's only getting started. You know, I think I've mentioned previously that, you know, a few years ago she had her sights on, like, MMA, I think. She was a boxer, and she was kind of in that world, and then transitioned to wrestling. I was on the coaching staff, the Fargo, New York team coaching staff when she just kind of broke into the scene in New York and started wrestling, and she didn't place out there, but I think she had a big win over somebody she wasn't supposed to beat, and Julia Salata from King snatched her up as right she should have, and got her to commit to King, and King has developed her very quickly and very well. And by the way, I just love watching her wrestle. Have you seen Sofia Mirabella wrestle? Her face is just so, like, I don't know. She just looks so tough and focused and gritty. And it's just, she's a great kid and had a great season, you know, did not qualify, but, you know, came back and took third and had a really nice season and tournament. So the qualifiers here, again, Melanie Mendoza from Team Tornado, which is King University's program, and Marissa Gallegos from Colorado Mesa. So it'll be fun to see Marissa there. And again, Marissa, you know, playing hurt, you know, broken hand, coming into the NCAA event a few weeks ago, a few weeks ago, she had bruised ribs, and I kind of had an awkward moment. I did a podcast, like live interviews on the floor at the NCAA event, you know, after it was over. And I went over to the Colorado Mesa area where Coach Travis Mercado was with Marissa, and we're just kind of talking about the tournament. And I said, all right, looking ahead now, how many do you have qualified for the Olympic team trials? And Travis, you know, held up a goose egg with his hand. He said, zero. I'm like, you know, Marissa's standing right there. I said, I thought Marissa was qualified. And he said, no. And she had a really nice, I don't know if you remember that, she had a really nice at the senior nationals in 2019, you know, pulled some big upsets. It was kind of the Cinderella story, but ended up not cracking. I think they needed to be in the top five to qualify for the Olympic team trials. I think she got sixth. She was in the top eight at least. That tournament was ridiculous. I don't know if you remember how stacked and big every group was there. I mean, to make the round of 12 was a big deal, let alone to crack the top eight or the top five. I mean, the women who earned their qualifying spots at that event really earned their spots. But yeah, I mean, Gallegos had a really nice tournament there. And now I'm self-conscious every time I say tournament. I feel like you're all against me. Just kidding. Anyway, so I'm standing there. I thought she, in my mind, because she was a Cinderella story at that event, I thought she qualified, and she didn't. So it's awesome that she, you know, was able to wrestle at a high level with that broken hand and to, you know, to get one of those two spots. I'm very happy for her and that program. So that's 53 kilos. On to 57. Lauren the Weave. Man, haven't we heard her name a lot over the last 6 months? She's been very active during the, during the pandemic and some of the wrestling cards, the USA wrestling tournaments. She won senior nationals, right? Yeah, she beat Sochi Motopetis, XMP, in the finals there. Well, XMP got her rematch here. The same match in the finals here at the last chance. And this time it was XMP, and that convincingly 14-2 win over Louive. XMP is coming. I mean, she's still young, and I don't know, like sometimes it's like she just isn't afraid to try things, and sometimes that can get her in trouble, you know, especially in some of these matches against more elite opponents. But that's also paid off for her too. Remember, she did pin Allie Reagan, you know, with a headlock. I think it was a lefty, beautiful, nasty headlock at senior nationals. That's what actually gave her the path to the finals against Louive. But I think the more Motopetis wrestles, you know, at this level, the more she's going to fine tune out of her game, her weaknesses, and, you know, she seems to be picking her spots better. And I mean, just even when she just wrestles fundamentally without taking big risks, she's a huge threat to score. I mean, she's got really good attacks, upper body and leg attacks, and good turns. So she really dominated that match against Louive, got the tech fall, won the qualifying spot, and then Louive had to wrestle a true second match against Lauren Mason. And that was a really good match. Louive won that 5-4 and got that second qualifying spot. But that was very close. I think it was 5-2, and then Mason got a takedown late. It was like, is she going to score again? You know, she's got a little time here to work with. Didn't happen. Lauren Mason's just a great young woman. I've worked with her, you know, on some podcasts and things with Reaper Wrestling. I root for her, and sorry to see her not qualify, but, you know, she she definitely proved that she's right there with these women, and you know, wasn't able to get that final, you know, turn or takedown against Luiz to win that match, but it was a very good true second match. So you had, yeah, XMP took first, Lauren Weave second. They got the qualifying spots. Lauren Mason third, and Gabby Skidmore. Nice tournament. Actually beat Mason earlier in the tournament, 4-3. And she had a nice tournament, took fourth, which was a nice finish for her after, I think she was contact traced, you know, some kind of COVID-related thing kept her out of the NCAA, you know, championship event. And so nice to see her out here and have a really nice tournament, you know, to end her season. I say end her season. Is there an off season for wrestlers? I mean, we've got in May, we've got the junior trials coming up again, and, you know, U23s and junior and cadet and all that. So, you know, we're going to see a lot of these women again very soon. But yeah, so that's 57. XMP gets it done in that revenge match against Luiz. Flip the script. XMP with the 14-2 win. Okay, so let us move on to 62. Michaela Beck, again, another New Yorker. You know, I got to know Michaela. I think I was on the coaching staff maybe 2 years, 3 years when she was on that Fargo team. And, you know, I got to see her win her national title at Fargo the 1 year. And I loved watching her career develop. Her dad's an awesome guy, Scott Beck, you know, very active, you know, in just, you know, kind of giving commentary in the wrestling community. I've heard him on different podcasts, and, you know, we've talked from time to time. And I guess just great to see Beck just have, I think, probably the best tournament she's had in a couple of years, maybe the best tournament she's had at the senior level. She did make Final X a few years ago, I think. So, you know, maybe I'm exaggerating a bit. You know, she's had some big moments before, but I think it's been a while since she's, you know, put it together like she did at this tournament. Did I just say tournament? Y'all are affecting me. See, it's peer pressure. Just stop it. Stop getting me to try to say tournament. I won't say it's tournament. That's how we say it in Western New York. Okay. So Beck, yeah, she runs the table, 10-0, 12-0. Destiny Ling, you know, from the Oklahoma City wrestling program, you know, she's back. I think she was out for a while with an injury. She kind of resurfaced at the NAIA and, you know, was an All-American there. Beck just owned that match, you know, 12-1 over Ling in the quarters. And then a really tight one. Her toughest match of the tournament was against Megan Black. Who, you know, the McKendree wrestler who's now at Army WCAP, you know, very, very good wrestler with a lot of accolades. You know, definitely somebody who was a serious contender to take one of those two qualifying spots. But Beck won that match 3-2. Black was ahead 2-1, and Beck got a takedown, you know, about, I don't know, halfway through the second period. I don't know. I think that's something that I haven't seen as much from Beck, and that was really good to see. Was I've seen Beck in that position before, where she's been down in the second period and just hasn't been able to, you know, kind of break through the head hands defense of you know, some of her opponents. You know, at least the elite opponents in the, you know, the big matches, kind of the headline matches that she's had. But this time she got it done. She was able to, when she needed to get that takedown and win that match 3-2. And as she went into the finals and really dominated Alex Lyles, who has not wrestled for, somebody I think on Twitter said, a year and a half. I think that's probably about right. I feel like it was like at the Farrell or, you know, one of those events in mid-2019 that she wrestled last. And then she went into this Army program, and this is the first time we've seen her wrestle. But yeah, Beck really owned that match, won it 11-0. But, you know, hats off to Lyles for, you know, kind of resurfacing here a year and a half later and putting together a very nice tournament. She had a win over Grace Figueroa, who's been wrestling really well lately. And Figueroa lost that semi to Lyles, which put Lyles in the finals. Even though she lost, she had a good tournament. Her loss did put her in a true second match with Anna Luciano from King. That was probably one of the most exciting moments of the tournament was when Luciano threw Lyles to her back and pinned her for that true second spot. It was, there wasn't many people in the room, but it was still super exciting to watch. She was so excited, and why shouldn't she be? You know, she beat a great opponent and won a spot at the Olympic trials. You know, it was really, really cool moment. And, you know, Luciano looks great. She did lose to Figueroa, but then in the third place match, after losing to Figueroa in the quarterfinals on the front side, came back, and to get that true second match, actually beat Figueroa 5-0. You know, so she flipped that result, and that's what gave her that match against against Lyles. So Luciano looks great. She's looked good all year. You know, she lost the national finals against Brenda Reyna, but it was only 1-1. She's looking really good. I've never seen her look this good, this consistently. And you know, going into Olympic trials, it'll be interesting to see if she can if she can place, and you know how high she places at that tournament. So that is 50 or 62. So you know, your top four there were Michaela Beck and Anna Luciano winning that the qualifying spots. Michaela Beck from Sunkist Kids. Luciano from Tornado Wrestling Club, the King program club. Alex Lyles from Army WCAP takes third, and then Gracie Figueroa from Titan Mercury taking fourth. Let me see if there's anything else interesting on the front side of that. There were some other good performances, you know, at this weight. Let's see. I think Jordan Suarez had a nice tournament. Yeah, she beat where's Suarez from? She's from Texas Panhandle Wrestling. Is she from Wayland Baptist or Texas Wesleyan? She's from one of those Texas college programs. But she beat Browntown in the first round, who was has been an All-American on the backside. I feel like she had a big win somewhere. Coral Sugiyama lost to Autumn Flanagan early in the wrestlebacks, and then Suarez beat Coral Sugiyama beat Flanagan, and then Suarez beat Sugiyama in the Concy of 8-6-2. That was the big win I was thinking. And then Suarez beat Destiny Ling. So you know, she really had a nice tournament. I could keep talking about, you know, different things that happen at this weight, but that's kind of the headlines there. A lot of really good young wrestlers at this weight. All these groups are just loaded with really, really good high school and college and some senior level wrestlers. That was 62. So let's move on to, again, 68. Oh my gosh, this weight, I mean, it was as advertised. We said 68 was going to be fire. It was fire. Especially from the quarters. Gotta say, Sullen Piercy, the two-time national champion from Menlo, who hasn't wrestled much, really looking good. I mean, she only lost to Grote 4-2 in the quarters. And then Piercy came back on the backside. And Piercy, yeah, she beat Gilmore. And then she beat Lang from Minnesota. You know, tough. I think Lang's still in high school, but really tough wrestler. And then Piercy beat Olivia Fisk, 6-3. I mean, that tells you something about, you know, how good Piercy is. And I feel like still a lot of people kind of don't know her because she hasn't done a lot outside of the college scene, and sometimes I feel like Menlo, because they're so far removed on the West, we a lot of times we only see them in the postseason, and Piercy's had, you know, some huge wins in college postseason. Like I said, she won the NAIA. She won the WCWA, a two-time national champion. Didn't get that NAIA last year because it was canceled. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like she's, I don't know, it's like she doesn't get a lot of press. And she's really, really good. I mean, she beat Fisk 6-3 in the Conti semis, lost to Murano in the third place match. Good tournament by her. She ended up taking fourth. But yeah, let's get back to the, you know, kind of the front side of this. You know, Kennedy Blades 12-1 over Grote. And Kennedy Blades started her day with a 10-0 tech fall over Andrea Jones from Grace Harbor, and then had a rematch with Hannah Gladden. She pinned Hannah Gladden at a Wyoming SEM exhibition match last fall. It was more of the same this time. Tech fall in 52 seconds. You know, Gladden, I think she was third on the national team at the senior level in 2019. And, you know, I mean, Blades is just dominating her. It's like, I don't know, like, how, I don't know. How high is her ceiling? Like, where does it end? You know, there was some chatter on Twitter about, you know, is she a real threat to Tamara Mensah-Stock? Is she a threat to Forrest Molinari? I don't know. Some people think that she is, and I happen to be one of them. I don't think she'll beat, I don't think she'd beat Tamara if she wrestled her. Forrest Molinari is like she's like a brick wall defensively. But I don't know. She wrestles Forrest Molinari. If she wrestles Forrest, man, I really think that's going to be a good match. You know, I'm not going to make a prediction, but I will say I wouldn't be surprised if Kennedy won it. Only because she just keeps attacking, and I don't think Forrest has the offense that Kennedy has, but she's got real world level defense, and you know she's good at scoring counters and you know, pound for pound, I think one of the strongest wrestlers in, you know, on the scene at the women's senior level. So Kennedy's 17. How does she fare against, you know, how old is Forrest now? I don't know. She's out of college. So what, 24, 25? Yeah, I'm not sure how old she is, but she's out of college. So how does a 17-year-old fare against, you know, a powerful wrestler like Molinari? I don't know, but the fact that we're talking about it tells you something about where Blades is at. It's going to be fascinating to watch her at 68 this weekend. But again, like the fact that nobody outside of the top three who she hasn't wrestled yet, she has wrestled number four and dominated Skylar Grote, the number four. She wrestled Hannah Gladden, who, you know, was number three on the world, on the national team, like I said, in 2019. You know, has been in the top 10 at the senior level. You know, nobody outside the top three has been able to give Kennedy, you know, any kind of a match where, you know, you think that they have a chance against her. Here we are. Now Kennedy's at the door about to walk into the top, those matches against the top three. We're about to see them. So where does it stop? Where does her... her victory, you know, her victory journey stop, you know, does it stop at number three, you know, number two, number one? I know, we'll see. This is it. This is the time that we get to see that at the Olympic team trials. Anybody who has not wanted to wrestle Kennedy before has to now. So, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Again, on the bottom side, Kylie Welker, again, just a fantastic tournament. She beats Kayla Murano, who's ranked, what, number six or seven at the senior level? In a minute and 41 seconds, she pins her. And then she beats Olivia Fisk in a minute 30 by tech fall. And then loses to Kennedy Blades in a pretty exciting match. So, again, the high school wrestlers were the story here. They are the two qualifiers, which means that Olivia Fisk, you know, a U.S. Open winner, somebody who's represented the United States, I think on a U23 world team before, junior world team, not qualified. Skylar Grote, not qualified. Kayla Morano, not qualified. Solon Piercy, not qualified. That's what I'm saying. Like, Hannah Glatton, you know, not at the qualifier. It's like the names of some of these women who are not going to be wrestling this weekend, it's pretty remarkable. And, you know, they can thank these two high school juniors for that. So I don't want to beat a dead horse. I've already talked about 68 quite a bit, but that bracket was loaded. And, you know, the drama that played out with these two young women, proving that they are, you know, as big as their reputation. It was pretty amazing to watch, and it really sets up a lot of drama and context and intrigue for this next weekend. So that was 68. And let's finish with 76. I think the story here is Jackie Cataline. Jackie Cataline, who has not wrestled at 76, has she ever? I don't know her history enough to know. I don't think she's ever wrestled at 76. She's been wrestling at 68, I think, maybe even wrestled at 62 once within the last year. She was a two-time U.S. Open winner. I think she won it in 2014 and 16. Maybe it was 13, 15, but a while ago. You know, she's kind of an old wily veteran, very, very tough, very strong, you know, really good, good defense, good counters, you know, good attacks, really dominated this weight. I think Tristan Kelly was seated first, but Cataline teched her, you know, took her 5 minutes to do it. You know, Kelly's very tough. I don't think Kelly had her best day. I think, you know, she's probably... she'd probably say that. You know, Kelly, you wonder if she was frustrated after losing her second round match to Marilyn Deedy. Marilyn Deedy, who I guess, quote unquote, bumped up, was a 155 in college and, you know, was an All-American. I think she took third at the NCAA event, bumped up here to 76, which, you know, obviously is a heavier weight. And beat Tristan Kelly 5-2 in the second round. This is a round robin. I don't know. You got to wonder if Kelly took some of that into the match with Cataline, but was not able to score against Cataline. One of Cataline's several tech falls. I think she teched everybody she wrestled. Cataline teched Montenegro in the first round. She got a forfeit in the second round. She teched Kelly in the third round. Tech DD in the fourth round, and then got a bye. Yeah, so she had three tech falls. She looked really good. And I got to say, I mean, she looked better than she did at some of the lighter weights that she wrestled. I think she DNP'd maybe at a couple events. I think she DNP'd in 2019 at Senior Nationals at a lighter weight. And then she DNP'd, I think... gosh, I can't remember what event it was. Would it have been the Senior Nationals this last fall? So I think she lost to Bridget Duty, and I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, all that to say, she bumped up. You know, she probably wonder if she's just going, you know what, I'm just gonna be the biggest, strongest version of myself, and let's go 76 kilos. And she looked great, and you know, she is one of the qualifiers that advanced to the Olympic trials this weekend, along with Marilyn Deedy. So congrats to Marilyn Deedy. She's just been getting better and better in that Augsburg program. You know, Chad Shilson's there, and, you know, Emily's a part of that program, and she's really developing really well and, you know, done really well at the college scene. You know, I think she's been top three or four in the NCAA, and now, you know, finds a way to get one of those qualifying spots and wrestle in the Olympic team trials. You know, really, really, really good, good young career for Marilyn Didi, and he's got a lot ahead of her too. And, you know, she's obviously, the trajectory's going the right way for her at Augsburg. So I guess that is it. That's, you know, six weights. It's a little easier to do these recaps and previews with six weights as opposed to college tournaments and nationals with 10 weights. It's easier to do it, but I want the 10 weights back for women's senior level wrestling. Doing the rankings, you know, being on the ranking committee for Flow Wrestling and, you know, helping putting that together. It is so hard to rank these, some of these Olympic weights. There's so many quality wrestlers, you know, that you can make a case for being in the top 10, and there's just, you gotta leave some of them out, you know, just because the converging of multiple weights, those 10 weights into six weights, just puts so many hammers in the same weight class. I'm looking forward to those 10 weights being back and, you know, spreading it out a little bit and, you know, seeing some of these women who have kind of been in the shadows and out of the rankings, you know, get their day of recognition, you know, get recognized for the good wrestlers they are. As you know, I think we're going to see a lot of women. You are going to see a lot of women hitting those, you know, top 10 who haven't been in a long time, because we're 2 years in the Olympic quote unquote year now because of the pandemic. So, you know, we've been only ranking six weight classes now for a couple of years. But once the Olympics is over, we're going to go back to those 10, and you'll start to see a lot of these, you know, tier three, you know, tier four women who have kind of been in the shadows, you know, get back in to those rankings and, you know, get some recognition, and, you know, you'll see them climbing those rankings and you know, making their run in the next Olympic cycle. So anyway, all that to say, thanks for listening. I'll do a podcast on the Olympic team trials probably tomorrow. I'll definitely get one out, obviously, before the weekend. But thanks for listening, and hope you enjoyed watching the Last Chance qualifier. I thought it was a great event. You know, I was pleasantly surprised at how deep these weight classes were and how great so many of the matches were. I hope you enjoyed it like I did, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I am out. Thanks for listening to AWW Radio.